The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You know, listening to Donald Trump is—it's like nails on a blackboard. Everything with Donald Trump is transactional. It's broken down to a very basic: you did this and I did that, and it ignores convention of diplomacy and, in many ways, decency, and most of all, reality. That if they impose sanctions on the EU of 25%. Then the American public, the people who voted him in, are going to suffer the most out of that. Because a lot of the goods that they currently take for granted, paying a lot for in the US, particularly when it comes to healthcare, they're going to have a 25% tariff on them. So everyone is going to lose on the drugs and everything else that this country sends to the United States, but he doesn't care about that because we're not buying his cars and we're not buying his food. And there's a very good reason for that, Donald. Hate to break it to you, mate. And I swore off Donald Trump after he won the last election. I said, you know, I'm not gonna pay too much attention to this guy because he is just here to make noise. And I guarantee you, a little bit like he did with Mexico and Canada, that this will all kind of peter out. It's all an attempt for him to look like he did a deal because that's his shtick. His one-trick pony. But in the meantime, it causes a great level of instability. And the question is, what will the European Union do if it does indeed happen? Pat Lees, political editor with the Irish Times. Morning, Pat.
Morning, Jonathan.
Look, we know trade between the US and Ireland is significant. What is the potential impact if tariffs are imposed both ways?
Well, it's potentially very significant. I mean, we've got over 70 billion euros of exports to the United States. You whack a 25% tariff on that, it makes them 25% more expensive in the United States. And that means that, you know, people will buy less of them and institutions will buy less of them. But the great bulk of that 70 billion or so is made up of pharmaceuticals. And I suppose this harks back to what you were saying a couple of minutes ago there in your introduction, is that will he really go through with this? Will he really want to make medicines much more expensive in the United States? I mean, maybe he does. The argument, insofar as there is one from that quarter, is you make imports more expensive, you stimulate domestic production, and the United States becomes more self-sufficient. It produces its own pharmaceuticals. And if that was to happen over even the medium term, then that would be, you know, very damaging to Ireland, because not alone are we selling fewer pharmaceuticals into the US market, but ultimately maybe the factories and production facilities owned by US corporations that make those medicines here might go back to the United States. And obviously, that would be extremely damaging, not just, you know, for the economy in the longer term, but in the medium term, the immediate term, the sort of short term hit that our corporation tax revenues would take. So if something like this went ahead, yeah, it could be extremely damaging. Now,
but going back to the nature, Pat, of this being transactional, this is a deal as far as he's concerned. Ultimately, right, he's going to be there for another 3.5 years in the White House before things have to change under their constitution. And I'm guessing that Europe and everyone else is just going to look at this and go, right, if that's the way you want to play it, mate, fair enough, let's do it. It's going to damage us, but we know you're limited in the amount of time you can do this.
Well, certainly he is limited in the amount of time that he will be president. You're absolutely right about that. And I suppose you look beyond, you know, you look beyond the midterms and his power and his capacity to get things done are probably diminishing at that point. But, you know, he has, whatever you think about him, he has remade politics in the United States, and the chances of not just Republicans, but the MAGA Republicans retaining the White House probably in the shape of JD Vance's presidency after the next election, you certainly wouldn't dismiss them.
What a horrible thought, but carry on.
So look, I mean, this doesn't come as a shock to the EU. You know, Trump has been talking about this for a long time. This isn't the first time that he has promised it. Maybe, okay, so it was his first cabinet meeting yesterday, and doing it in such a kind of an overt and explicit way, I suppose, would tend to suggest we're a bit closer to that point. Now, there is a hope in Irish government circles. I know that, that, you know, as you say, this is all about threatening, waving a big stick, hoping that that the EU will make certain concessions. So there's a hope in the Irish government that, look, we buy, you know, Europe commits to buying more American liquefied natural gas, and that eases off Trump's ardor for tariffs. And Europe needs natural gas.
Absolutely, we do, and it can come from there as well as other places, but we mightn't want it from the East as much. When you break this down to the people who voted for Donald Trump, I don't want to disparage them, but I'm guessing a lot of them don't understand the complexities of international economics and tariffs. It sounds like you're a strong man, but there's a reason why the world moved away from these, because it is ultimately damaging to your economy. They are struggling to pay for eggs at a basic commodity. Their gas prices are going up. How long do you think before the penny drops? A little bit like Brexit across the water. How long before the penny drops that they're on the wrong path, do you think? Is it when the medication or perhaps the hip implant or the stent that's manufactured in Europe goes up in cost and makes it unaffordable for them? Is that when the penny will drop?
Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose this is what gives people the hope and in some cases the expectation that he won't go through with this, because I guess, you know, Trump voters probably wouldn't be alone in not fully understanding the nuances of international economics and trade and the impact of tariffs and so forth. But there is virtual unanimity amongst economists that tariffs, the imposition of tariffs, will lead to higher prices for consumers, at least in the short term. And, you know, why was Joe Biden so unpopular amongst Americans? Because the cost of living had risen so precipitously. And, you know, why are governments all over Europe, why are being thrown out over the last 2 years, 18 months? Because of the inflation crisis. We're kind of an exception to that rule here, and maybe that's because our government had the resources to at least to mitigate the effects of inflation. So going back to your point, then if prices go up in the United States and you don't see an economic bounce back there, and all the signs are that you won't, at least in the short term, then that has to weaken Donald Trump amongst those voters who were, you know, so opposed to Joe Biden.
Yeah. And not to mention what he's doing to thousands upon thousands of federal workers and kicking them out the door. The one thing that stuck with me yesterday, Pat, though, from all of Trump's ramblings, the idea that he said that the EU was set up to screw the US. Now, I don't know whether he was being willfully ignorant there, or this America-centric approach somehow is blinkering him in some way. But I'm not sure how anyone can look at the EU project, the success that it has brought to the continent, the peace that it has guaranteed, was set up to screw the US. I mean, can you possibly give me any insight there?
No, I mean, it's just historically inaccurate. You know, the EU was set up with American encouragement. And I suppose, more importantly, the EU was set up under the American security shield provided by NATO that, you know, we and the rest of the continent were beneficiaries of for, you know, several decades since the end of the Second World War. And we know that that security guarantee from the United States is now in jeopardy. now. And this is, I suppose, it is the kind of the great geopolitical question of the age. To what extent is America withdrawing from the post-war security and economic order that it shaped to its own benefit? Let's not forget, America emerged from the Second World War as the world's most powerful country, and it reinforced that status both politically, economically, diplomatically over the succeeding decades. So the post-war order that America ordained worked for Europe, certainly, but it also worked for America. But, you know, there's a different view of that world now at the head of the American political institutions, and we'll just have to wait and see where that takes us.
Fiona's in Dublin. She texted to say, it's not transactional, Jonathan. Ukraine haven't got anything in exchange for their minerals. I think they're fighting a rearguard action on both fronts to try and convince Trump to provide them with some form of security. But I don't know how far they'll get with that. Jonathan, what happens if he puts tariffs on and Europe doesn't pay? It'll just punish the US, says this listener. Well, tariffs don't necessarily work that way, because the tariff will be on in the US, and they won't buy our stuff because it's 25% more expensive, and vice versa. Pharmaceutical and medical device companies need to have a legal base of operations in the EU, says this texter, to be allowed access to the market. Adding to this, for a company to be considering moving manufacturing operations to suit someone who's only going to be in office for less than 4 years and pay out for that restructure could be quite short-sighted. I mean, that is a point, Pat. That there's probably like a 10-year lead-in time to these pharmaceutical sites. And ultimately, while they may have to placate Donald Trump in the short term, in the long term, they're dealing with a global market, not an American one.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, multinationals, the multinationals that are so embedded in our economy aren't here just for exposure to the Irish economy. They're here, I suppose, you know, you see so many of these companies that have Ireland as their European headquarters, indeed, you know, European Middle East Africa headquarters in many cases. And big multinationals, being by definition extremely successful commercial enterprises, don't think along the lines of the political cycle, as in they don't think in 4-year cycles, you know, they think in 10 or 20 year cycles, and they make decisions with those sort of things in mind. And I suppose that's one of the things that they are trying to figure out now. How far does Trump's America First policies, how far do they go, and how long do they endure? Are you looking at, you know, something that is temporary, or are you looking at something that is permanent? And if you look at the signs from Washington and the alacrity with which many of, you know, the biggest companies in the world have rode in behind Trump, you've got to think that, you know, maybe they think that this is here to stay, that America's withdrawal. And if you look at American history, you know, there are periods of isolationism. There was one before the First World War.
Prior to the time where they changed quite quickly when the realpolitik kicked in. One more here from Limerick, from Will, who is listening to us. He says, the tariffs will hurt the Irish consumer buying American goods. That's bad. No one's talking about the extra revenue the government will make from tariffs imposed on American goods. And I know that there is, we operate a massive trade deficit. We send them way more than they send us. We know that, Pat. And if you listen to what Trump is talking about, it's American cars and agricultural produce, both of which the Irish consumer would turn their nose up at for the most part. So therefore, I mean, it's going to hurt the American consumer a lot more than the Irish consumer.
Yeah, it remains to be seen, to be honest. I think there's a great degree of unpredictability about how exactly these tariffs would work and what the EU's response will be. But when it comes to something like, you know, pharmaceuticals, you can see that there is very obvious dangers for Ireland, as I say, not just in terms of the, you know, the future of the pharmaceutical companies here, but in, I mean, talked earlier about how, you know, the Irish government was in a position to be able to mitigate on its voters the impact of inflation and cost of living crisis over recent years. Well, it was able to do that. People might recall from recent budgets, you know, all those once-off giveaways and energy credits and double welfare payments and double child benefit payments and so forth. That was funded by corporation tax receipts from yep. these exact companies. So if that tap is switched off, even temporarily, then, you know, it has very clear budgetary implications.
Yeah, no, it will have an impact on all of us. Pat Leahy of the Irish Times, thank you very much for that. Of course, Micheál Martin expecting to be meeting President Trump around St. Patrick's Day. It's no formal invitation, apparently. I'm presuming you don't just rock up, but there has to be some form of diplomacy in there. But it'll certainly be a more interesting conversation than...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.